neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis, California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
You're listening to my
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. Hi, I'm Peter, and joining me this week is Sue, direct from Florida. Hi, Sue.
Hey there. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing pretty good. We got a couple of interesting pieces of news. The annual price increase came out, so it's going to be a shorter show, but we wanted to share these bits of news with everybody. We thought we would get together and share these bits of information. But before we do that, let's thank our sponsor from World of DVC. This week's sponsor is Monera Financial. Monera Financial is there to help you finance your DVC contract, and they will help you finance resale contracts. They will also help you if you want to refinance your direct contract from DVC. They have better rates than what Disney's going to give you, so you can call them, and rather than pay Disney's pretty high interest rates, you can call Monera Financial, and they will get you a better rate. They don't refuse anyone, so, you know, it doesn't hurt to check them out. Go to monerafinancial.com and let them know what your loan is and everything, and they'll let you know if you qualify, what your rate will be. It's worth taking a look. So, Monera Financial. And with that, we're going to start with our stories. And Sue, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, so DVC members are going to get an exclusive early access to Zootopia called Better Zoogether.
Yeah.
I always mess that word up.
That's
Zoogether.
Awkward word.
It definitely is. So Disney has announced special member preview days for the new Tree of Life attraction called Zootopia, Better Zoogether. With the attraction set to open to the public on November 7th, the previews for the DVC members have been announced for November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Guests must have rooms booked by October 19th, and the registration date is scheduled to open on October 23rd. It's expected to work similar to the queue for Moonlight Magic. So if you have an annual pass, know that there are also annual pass previews scheduled for November 5th and 6th. The attraction will use a virtual queue system for those days. The queue will open at 7 a.m. for pass holders with a theme park reservation. So you have to not only be a pass holder, but have a theme park reservation, 7 o'clock in the morning, be on the phone. A second queue window opens at 1 daily, which does not require a park reservation. So are you down here during that time, or are you
So
home?
Actually, the first day, November 1st, is... Well, we're actually here November 1st and 2nd, but I think the way they use it, our reservation ends on the 1st, so I don't know if I could book the 2nd. So I guess I'll find out when I register, but we're going to try for November 1st. In fact, I changed our park reservation to Animal Kingdom for November 1st just in case. I don't think you have to have the reservation in advance because, like, our daughter doesn't have an annual pass. She has a regular ticket, which you don't need a reservation for. I think that's kind of weird. So we have two of us have reservations and the other person doesn't. I'm excited for this. I mean, I was thinking I got Moonlight Magic on the 28th, I think it is, 29th. And there's also going to be the meet and treat at Boardwalk while we're down there. So we're getting quite a few different DVC events. I mean, it's almost more than I've done total in my life to have three of them in one session. I mean, we've done two Moonlight Magics. One of the very, very first ones when it was at Magic Kingdom, we were lucky enough to be down there for. And then the only other one we've done is a Typhoon Lagoon one, but I've never done any of the other parks. So this will be a new one to do Animal Kingdom. I'm not sure it's the best one to do, but I figure at least, you know, get a couple rides on Flights of Passage, if nothing else, you know.
Yes.
And probably a final ride on Dinosaur, so to speak. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And, you know, I guess I'm not guaranteed that I get this, but it seems like with these previews, they're a little easier to get into than the Moonlight Magics are. A lot of people get locked out for those. So we'll see what happens. I'll be definitely online that day. What about you? Are you going to try maybe for one of the, because I know you're an annual pass holder too, or are you just going to wait till it's...
No, I'm not an annual pass holder.
Oh, because you have the...
I have my cast.
Have a cast pass. Yeah.
I don't get to go because I'm a retired cast member. My neighbors are annual pass holders and they're going, but I'll see it soon thereafter. I'm looking forward to it.
I got to imagine it's the type of thing that the first couple days will be a big crowds just because you get all the bloggers and such that need to get their content and everything like that. And then after that, I mean, I'm not saying it won't be popular. I'm sure it'll be much more popular than the old show was, but probably have to wait 20 minutes, 40 minutes or something like that for the next show or something like that. I can't imagine you're going to have like 2 hour long lines for a movie. I have not heard how long this is the other thing. I mean, the old show, I don't know, what do you think, was 15 minutes or something like that? The Bugs Life show?
Yeah, about 15. So
I really don't know how long this is going to be, but I would assume there wasn't really a pre-show for the old show. So I'm going to be curious to see how they're going to handle the crowds for it. It's not like when they open the Encanto ride. Can you imagine the lines for that are going to be, you know, 2 hours for the next 10 years?
Yes.
Whereas I think we're going to see this is probably not going to get those kind of crowds. I don't know. You never know. New things, you know, people are excited. Right. So.
But the nice thing is it's for family. Even the little kids, a lot of them have seen Zootopia. Yeah. And the characters are lovable and memorable. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear your firsthand experience and see what you think.
I'm excited. If anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, I'm at Skier Pete, just at Skier Pete on Instagram. Probably be posting some video and photos of they probably won't let us take video on the attraction itself, I would assume. You know, they'll probably let us take some photos and whatever. So I'm excited. As I said, I haven't even signed up for it yet. So hopefully I get in. All right. So then our next story, which is our biggest story, and this comes around pretty much. They've been doing it this time of year for at least 4 or 5 years, maybe even from before COVID. But the price increase for Disney World and Disneyland hit on October 8th. And we were warning people, who were saying if you have an annual pass, you know, they had that discount on the annual passes for Disney World for about 2 months, and they ran out September. If you listen to our show regularly, we said, hey, and not only is the discount going to run out, the prices are going to go up in October. And guess what? The prices went up. Like the leaves falling from the trees, the new fiscal year at Disney Corporation typically comes with an increase in ticket prices. Disney World has raised the one-day ticket price, and this actually the change in prices, because they list the ticket prices out so far in advance, it's actually for like a year from now. So these new ranges apply to like October through December of 2026. So prior to that, the ticket prices haven't changed. But new records for single day tickets. First time we see Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and even Epcot passing the $200 a day mark for individual tickets. So Magic Kingdom ranges from $159 up to $209, and that was a $10 increase on the high end. The low ends actually stayed the same, so they didn't change the lowest rates yet. You see prices as low as $159. Epcot is $139. Now, I saw two different prices, $139 to $194. But on New Year's Eve, Epcot for a single day ticket is $209. So there's one day where it's $209. Otherwise, $194 is the high end. Hollywood Studio goes $149 to $204, and that's $5 up. And then poor Animal Kingdom, not over $200 yet. $119 to $184 for Animal Kingdom. And so those are one day tickets, of course. A lot of people don't buy individual day tickets. The multi-day tickets also did go up again for that last quarter of 2026. But the way they do the tickets now, you have to like go in and look at what's your dates, how many days you're doing, are you adding in a hopper, or, you know, whatever. I don't think this trip, but there was one trip where like we were arriving on our first park day was going to be Sunday or something like that. And it was actually cheaper to buy the ticket starting Saturday but then not use it on Saturday, and and you still had enough of a range that you could use it, because you like a 6-day ticket, you got like, I don't know, 10 days to use the 6 days or something like that,
right?
you got to check, but the prices did go up year over year on multi-day tickets, $5 to $10 typically. There wasn't a huge increase like we've seen in some past years. Annual passes did increase as well. Interestingly, most of them only went up by $20. The Pixie Dust, the Pirate, and the Sorcerer Pass, which is the DVC Pass, only went up $20. The Incredipass, which is the Good Anytime Pass, went up by $80. So that one went up to $16.29. So now the difference between the Sorcerer's Pass and the Incredipass is now $530. So I've said this many times, Sue, and I know you don't need to buy a pass being a former cast member, but one of the biggest perks of, you know, owning enough points direct to get member benefits is to get that Sorcerer's Pass and utilize that Sorcerer's Pass in your travels so that you take multiple trips in a single year. Even if you go once a year, we do Food and Wine every year. We take one trip. This year it's October 25th to November 1st. Next year when we go, it's going to be before October 25th. So we get two trips in a single year. We buy a Sorcerer's Pass at $10.99. It was $10.79. And we can go 7-8 days on that. And you're paying $400, $500 less than you would for two separate week-long park tickets. It's right. One of the big advantages in my mind of, you know, one of the big arguments for buying direct. Again, I would always say, if you're going to buy direct, only buy 150 points direct. And then after that, go resale. But it's something to factor in if you're thinking about, do I want the member benefit or do I want to buy resale? I'm a big proponent of resale. We encourage people to look at resale. But if you want some direct points for that perk, it's a good idea. Of course, if you live in Florida, you don't need it anyways. A few other changes. The Disney PhotoPass Memory Maker and the Water Park Sports Options both increased by $10. The park hopping went up a little bit too. Parking increased by $5. The other thing that's a little disappointing to see, and tell me what you think of this, Sue, they took away, you used to be able to get a Magic Band Plus as part of your resort reservation. It's been a long time since you could do it for free, but they used to take $10 off the price. They got rid of that.
Right.
Like, what do you think of that?
To me, that's really crazy. Again, you know, I hate to see the nickel and diming for people. And I know that they're trying to keep the stockholders happy. And I know that the theme parks are their cash cow in the Disney Corporation. But sometimes enough's enough. I look at the ticket prices going up, and I look at the ticket prices going up while a lot of attractions in the parks are closed because they are putting in new attractions or new lands, and yet you're charging a higher price for it, and now you want to take away a $10, just a $10 discount? I mean...
Well, and I think you would lose a lot of sales because I would think anyways that people, like, they book their trip and they're all excited and it's like, oh, I can get, you know, this Magic Band. And the Magic Band isn't marketed nearly as much as it used to be. And I don't know if they feel like more and more people are using their phones instead. But I really still like the Magic Band over my phone because
I have to
take out my phone. You know,
whereas
the Magic Band is just there on my wrist, and I prefer the Magic Band. I still use them, but I have to say I'm less likely to buy one this last trip. I did not buy new ones, but I did go onto the website and I browsed through the ones that were the $10 discount ones. And I looked at them and I was like, oh, am I interested in any of that? And none of them really caught my eye. But if one of them had, I would have bought it.
Sure.
And quite honestly, I'm not buying one in the parks. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to have six Magic Bands with me.
Right.
I'm not.
I have them on all the different colors.
Yeah, right. I got one for each outfit. You know.
So, me too.
Disappointing. It's one of those things that makes no sense to me it's worse for them. That's the changes at Disney World. Disneyland also increased their annual pass rates. Their high-end passes went up quite a bit. The Inspire, which is the basically no blockout date pass. I think it might still actually block out like at Christmas or something like that. But the Inspire Pass went up $150. It's now $1,900, which seems like an awful lot. The next tier down, the Believe, is went up $100. It's $1,474. Then the two lower tier passes did not change. If you're a California resident, you're out there, those are California resident passes. So those are still available at the same price. Their parking rates also increased by $5, and their base parking is $40, whereas Florida, it's $35. Both kind of ridiculous. I mean, I was thinking about that. It's like, at what point is it cheaper to Uber from your offsite hotel than park at the than park at the parking lot? And the the Uber doesn't drop you any closer, right? I mean, it drops you at the TTC or wherever.
It's still close enough.
It's still better than having to trek through the parking lot.
Right.
Single day and multi-day tickets increased as well for the most part. I'm not going to go through all of those. You're welcome to look at our show notes or the links in our show notes. A couple other things I want to point out. Part of our sponsor at World of DVC has a travel agency called Unlocked Magic, and it is a quick and easy way to save on tickets. There's no coupons. You just buy the tickets on their site. A couple days later, they'll email you the codes. You put them into your My Disney Experience account, and you get tickets for 10% off whatever the rate is at the Disney site. So it works for both coasts. It works for Universal. They even have hard ticket events there like Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and Jollywood Nights. So check them out at unlockedmagic.com. And also, I did want to point out for California residents, they actually came out at the same time with a really good deal for both parks, Disneyland and California Adventure. 3-day park hopper ticket for just $249. If you're you have to be within a certain distance of Disneyland. I don't think it's all California residents. Typically, they do it within like certain zip codes. But $249, you can add Lightning Lane Multipass for to make it $341. So it's about $100 for the 3 days of Lightning Lane Multipass. And that sounds like a lot, but it's actually pretty typical. Those tickets also are good from January 1st to May 21st. 2026, and do not have to be used on consecutive days. So you can go a day in January, you could go a day in March, could go a day in May. Really useful if, I don't know how many locals in California listen to us, but if you haven't heard about that one, that's not a bad offer. Even like gifts for friends, right? For $249, right. You could get gifts for your kids or whatever and have family days at Disneyland. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, think about it, $249, 3 days. That's like $80 a day, something like that.
Right. Right. I mean, that would make a great Christmas present for your family.
And that's hopper too. I mean, that's park to, that's going park to park. So yeah, good price.
When you had mentioned that you can go on to the Unlocked Magic and order your tickets, order them online. You don't call for them. You don't have to email us. You go right online and you can order whatever park tickets you need. And as you had said, they will email you the codes within a couple of days.
Yeah, it's really simple. I actually, as I was writing the notes for the show, I wanted to make sure I had the right website. So I went on and I actually tried to see what it took to buy a ticket. And it was super simple. You put your start date, you put how many days you wanted, and it gave you the different options, hopper, water parks and more, all those different things. And you could just pick it. It was really easy to use. So one last story.
Okay. Yeah, one last story. And that's on Mickey's PhilharMagic. And Vacation Fun will be closing for short refurbishments. So Mickey's PhilharMagic will be closing from November 1st to November 22nd for a short refurbishment. Disney's operating schedule shows that the hours return on November 23rd, just in time for the Thanksgiving holiday break. In addition, the Mickey and Minnie Short Theater over at Hollywood Studios, showing Vacation Fun shorts, will be closed starting October 20th, and plans are to reopen before the end of the year, though no return date has been set at this time.
Yeah. So, honestly, I mean, I knew that the theater shorts existed, but I couldn't tell you what the name of it was, or I've never been in there, so
I haven't either.
I think they just run a couple of the newer Minnie and Minnie shorts in there. They just run continuously, So I think you can just go in there, sit. I guess it's a good place to cool off, but I don't think a lot of people are going to miss that being closed. PhilharMagic, I love PhilharMagic, but 3 weeks, you know, it's not the end of the world. They got to fix things. Hopefully that means they're like fixing broken seats and giving it a deep cleaning and everything like that. I mean, those theaters can start to smell kind of funky with all the Florida perspiration going on down there.
Yeah, well, between that and also with the special effects for the 4D.
Get all the little water sprayers and perfume working again. Yeah.
Yeah. They are short refurbishment time, so.
Yeah, and back open for Thanksgiving and Christmas. PhilharMagic, you know, handles a lot of people in an hour, which is important during those busy times.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So I think
good show. I mean, good information, especially on the tickets. It's always good to try and have that news out so people can start planning their vacations for next year and have an idea of the costs that are going to be involved.
Yeah, for sure. It's good to see that the tickets didn't go up a lot. It was typically 2-4% for the most part across the board. There's a few, as I said, the annual passes out in California, the higher end passes went up quite a bit. The Incredipass did go up $80, but at that price point, that's still only like 5% or something like that, maybe 6%. Right. But that's still pretty high. I was glad to see like the Sorcerer's Pass only went up $20. So that's only a 2%, less than 2% increase. It would be nice if they did something like that for a few years. They were really rocking the increases there for a few years out of COVID. But last year and this year, they've backed off a little bit.
They've tamed it down.
Wondering if they're feeling the pressure a little bit of not as many people coming. I'm sure you remember, Sue, not too long ago, like when the ticket prices were going to hit 100 and people were like, oh my God, $100 a ticket. No one's going to come. You know,
yep.
The parks are going to be empty. And now here we are at $200 for a day ticket and $200 for a hard ticket, right? Halloween party is $229.
You know, I still have to equate it to when I skied, and I don't know what the prices are now, but for a day pass for a good ski place, you're paying a lot of money. Or if you're going on a round of golf, you're paying a lot of money for that.
I mean, sure, there's no doubt Disney is expensive, but travel has gotten so expensive. We just went to, not a good example of economical traveling, but we just went to France and to Paris and to London.
Yep.
And we did spend a couple days in Disneyland Paris, but like going to Paris and London is way more expensive than going to Disney World. That's for sure. At least from Buffalo, New York, more than double what we spent there to what we're going to be spending in Florida. I think the biggest problem is, it's my biggest complaint would be like the ticket prices that have gotten so expensive that really do price people out when you're talking about going for a week and spending $500, $600 per person. Even if you don't have a big family, that's a lot of money for a lot of people. But on the other hand, the parks are still very crowded. I don't see them worrying about that too much, you know?
I don't think that they've hit the price point yet where they're losing a lot of people. And I think that's what they're still trying to find, is what is that price point where we're going to start turning people away and we're going to start losing. Well, and they haven't gotten there yet because people are still paying.
And I wonder, though, if they're seeing a little bit of tipping right now because they haven't raised them as much. I said previous years we were seeing like 6-7% increases, and now we're seeing 2-3% increases. I wonder if they're starting to go, oh, maybe we're starting to scare some people off.
Get there. You know,
it's good news. It's good news that it didn't go up too much, because let's face it, it's going to go up.
Right. So. Definitely.
All right. So with that, we just want to thank our three sponsors from World of DVC. That's DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And if you are new to this podcast, please check out on Facebook the MyDVC Points Facebook community. It's a great community of folks that are super knowledgeable on Disney and DVC. We share hints with each other, people post for advice, things like that. And it's great. And then also check out the other podcasts on the MyDVC Points platform. Chad does a weekly podcast that has lots of information about DVC. He interviews other owners and things like that. He brings in folks from the world of DVC to talk about what's going on with DVC and how to most effectively use your DVC membership. Make sure, if you like our show, check out some of those shows. And with that, I think I'm going to say bye-bye, everybody.
See you real soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.